Morning. At this stage in the service, it's sort of traditional to say welcome. So welcome. I think this morning I should add congratulations. You got here and safely. So well done for that. We're going to start by praying. Proverbs 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths." So our Heavenly Father, we start the new year by making that our prayer. Lord, we do trust in you with all our heart and we do not lean on our own understanding. And in all our ways we do acknowledge you and we ask you to make our paths straight, both this morning, this week, and throughout this new year. By the grace of Jesus, amen. Now, an acknowledgement to George Hill, who chose the songs, as he usually does when I'm leading, that he's found a song that actually says almost exactly the same thing. "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah." A great start for this morning. He's not even here. Oh, well, thank you, George. Ian mentioned the newsletter. I just want to point out how important that is. It details the regular activities this week, weather permitting. Monday, the Welcome Bap. Tuesday, Tots and Co, an encounter with God. Wednesday, the Ladies' Fellowship and the Wednesday Group. It did make me wonder what happens when the Wednesday Group has to meet on another day. Saturday, there's the prayer gathering, and unusually, especially this Saturday, there's the Winter Bird Watch with George. News of our own people and praying for them, we'll do that when we pray later. Alistair will be talking later about wisdom. And rather intriguingly, he's entitled his talk, "Striding Edge." Now, striding edge only means one thing, really, which is a ridge of rock in the Lake District, leading up to the top of Helvellyn. There are a number of people nodding. They're the people who've climbed it. So George has done rather well to combine those themes in our next song. The wise man built his house upon the rock. We're going to sing that now, and then we're going to give some more thought to it after our reading.
mountains came down and the floods came up, and the house on the rocks stood firm. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up, and the house on the slope fell. Jesus Christ, and the blessed things will come down. The blessings come down as your prayers go up. The blessings come down as your prayers go up. The blessings come down as your prayers go up. So build your life on the Lord.
So this is the reading that Alistair will be talking to later. It's Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the church in Ephesus, chapter 5, verses 8 to 17. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Well, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, Alice is going to be talking about wisdom, and he's going to, I understand, start with talking about Striding Edge. So I wanted just to tell you a little bit more about Striding Edge. He won't have a lot of time to tell you about Striding Edge, but I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Striding Edge now. And Alistair, I think, is going to use a picture of Striding Edge. Right. So I've avoided pictures of Striding Edge. Instead, we have a map of the area. Right.
Even better than that, I've actually got
a real map here as well. It's the English Lakes, and it's the north and east area. This is the 1 to 25,000 scale, and it's in the Lake District, so you can tell that because there are lakes. They're the blue bits. And here is the mountain Helvellyn. And this bit here, stretching out to the right, is Striding Edge. There. You can tell it's an edge because there are lots of brown lines on this side, meaning it's steep, and lots of brown lines on that side, which means it's steep going the other way. And it is steep. But it's less steep at the beginning. Quite broad at the beginning, of course you don't want to fall off even so. So you've got a compass to tell you go west. And it doesn't really matter exactly whether you walk here or walk here or walk here. So long as you're going west along the edge, you're doing okay. The guide says, the guidebook says, there are lots of paths here, all of which lead up the basic way. And I was thinking, that's a sort of general guide at that point. There are bits in the Bible which say things like,
love God and love your neighbour. That's your general compass point. You're going up that direction. It doesn't say whether you choose a yellow jumper or a red jumper. It doesn't say whether you tell you who to marry. It's just a general guidance of go west and you'll go up the ridge. Don't fall off either side. But if you look at this map, in fact, can we have the next map? Because I think we've got even a, yes, you see we've got it close up. These little black bits are rocks. When I say rocks, they're crags which you can fall off. And they're scattered about, but really, they're to give a general impression. At this point, you can fall off just about anywhere. And you can see that here's the sort of, this bit's sort of a bit wider, but here it gets seriously narrow. And it's scrambling country. This is, you're going to be using your hands. Now, I thought the reason for using the map was because today there is no picture. It is misty on there. You can't even see where you're going. The compass is at least still useful, but you've got to get up here, and there's only, you can only put your foot here, or your foot here, or your hand here, and, well, I did a sort of risk assessment, and I didn't bring the stepladder. But I brought this, and this will simulate the narrow bit of the ridge. The other part of the risk assessment is that it's only me going up it. Otherwise I might have chosen a volunteer. So you come up the broad part of the ridge, and now here you're in the mist, and it's icy up there today as well. Snowy. So you, even with proper shoes on, you're gonna slip. So you need help. You need a guide. And that's where your whistle comes in. The international call sign for help on a mountain is 6 blasts within a minute. And on this occasion, we get Ian. And Ian is carrying something very special. Now, from a theological point of view, what I mean is, that's the prayer. Our 6 blasts on the whistle is, at this point, Lord, I'm faced with a particular situation, and I need help. And on these situations, like in our reading, God has promised help. Ian, bring with you what you have.
I hope.
Now, this is an ice axe. And an ice axe has 2 bits on the top, a sharp bit, and it's what's called the adze. And the adze is for cutting steps in the ice. And the person who cuts the steps is your guide. And he cuts each step, and you put it's like King Winter's up, in your footsteps, good my, you put your footsteps in the steps that are being cut. So general guidance coming up the ridge, but when you get to the crux, I need, you don't actually swing it too hard. But you actually use it that way up. And that's it, you've got it sort of swing. And so Jesus is there with his ice axe cutting the steps for us, and saying, put your hand here, and safe at the top. Thank you very much. Be careful, don't try this at home. Okay.
General guidance and particular guidance. You'll hear the real story from Alistair later. We've got some more songs of worship, in a worship block. And we're going to start with Light of the World. And in the third song, we're going to take up our collection, and the children may leave in that third song as well.
To worship, here I am.
Thank you. Please sit.
Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you give us. Everything we have, we get from you. And give us a small return from us to you. I love you. And we pray that we use in your will through this church and further afield with the young children that we sponsor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now we also, are the young people going out or are they staying in? Oh, they're going out because Chris is waiting there at the back. So, Heavenly Father, we pray for the young children as they, or the children as they go out, that you will bless them and speak to them. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned the newsletter earlier. It not only has the general things that are going on in the church, but it has particular news too of our people. Of our friends and the people who we worship with. And here are some, here are the people in the newsletter, but we must also remember Oliver, I think, is that right?
Yeah.
Oliver, and it's scoliosis, is that right? And an operation this week? Okay. So let's pray for these people. Heavenly Father, we pray. For George Bayliss, now in the Alexandra Mill care home. So we pray for both George and Kay. We pray for Sue Gabrielson's brother, Bruce, for Judith's nephew, Zach, and also niece, Anne, I think. Jill's son, Chris, and of course, Susie, and Harold and Betty, who's not here today. We pray for all in need in our fellowship. For healing where appropriate, for support, encouragement and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. But we look out on the wider world too. And at the start of a year, well, some people feel that we're going into 2025 with some trepidation. There are wars. Some well known, some less. Myanmar. The Arab-Israeli conflict, in the Maghreb, in West Africa, in East Africa, Northeast Africa, the Sudan, and of course, Russia, Ukraine. Wars and rumours of wars. And we pray for peace in all those conflicts. We pray for people who will be peacemakers and that a just peace will come. We pray for the other things that worry us, for terrorism, escalating climate change, maybe pandemics. In all these things, we pray for your kingdom to come, for peace, and that we will know Jesus with us always. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we have Alistair going to come and speak to us, so we're going to pray for him too. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Alistair and all he brings to us every week. But we pray for him particularly today that you'll give him your words to speak in your way, your truths that will bring you to us. And we pray for us too that we will listen and get the very best from all he says. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much to Brendan, and Happy New Year to you all, to those who haven't seen so far this year. May God bless you all in 2025. I know some of you like being outdoors, and you like walking, maybe not today, and you enjoy God's wonderful creation. And maybe some of you have even mentioned walked here, which we've mentioned already. This, of course, is Striding Edge. Striding Edge. It's the famous ridge, as Brendan said, sort of around Helvellyn. Helvellyn is the third highest mountain in England. And as you can see, even in what looks like a good day, that is a difficult and demanding climb, and it's full of danger. And when you are right on the edge of the ridge, and you can probably see the little paths that sort of skirt around it, when you're on one of those paths on the edge of that ridge, you have got to be very, very careful how and where you walk. And in the verses we read from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Paul says something similar. He says, be very careful, as far as your Christian life is concerned, how and where you walk. Now, generally speaking, we take time and trouble over the things that matter to us, don't we? So you probably had a wash, combed your hair, maybe checked you weren't wearing odd shoes before you came out to church this morning. Probably. When you go to school tomorrow, when you go to work tomorrow, you probably won't turn up 3 hours late because you fancied a lie-in. You probably don't treat your husband, your wife, your parents as butlers or maids. You probably don't spend around 5 minutes a month on your favourite hobby. Because, generally speaking, we take time and trouble over the things that really matter to us. So Paul is saying the same is true of the Christian life. You need to take time and trouble over it. And this is what Paul writes. Sorry, Danny, would you mind as usual, please, starting me off? Thank you. Be very careful then how you live. How you walk is another translation there, by the way. Not as unwise, but as wise. And then Paul goes on to give a couple of reasons why we should be wise and what wisdom looks like in our Christian discipleship. Very, very simple reasons. So here's the first one. Wise people make the most of their time. And this is what he says. So be very careful then how you live, how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Now, some of you will be familiar with a well-known poem from the 19th century. It's called Time's Paces by Henry Twell. If that doesn't sound familiar, maybe you'll recognise the poem. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. Anybody know that one? When as a youth I waxed more bold, time strolled. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still I daily grew, time flew. Soon I shall find, in passing on, time gone. And most of us know how that feels. I mean, we all say it, don't we? The older you get, apparently, the faster time flies. That's our experience, isn't it? I don't know whether you made any New Year's resolutions this year. Apparently, around a quarter of people in the UK made New Year's resolutions for 2025. Around about 25% of people in our country made New Year's resolutions this year. You can probably guess the usual suspects that always pop up in any of these lists. So, in the time-honoured way of reverse order, number 5 was spend more time with or improve relationships with friends and family. That's 5% of people. 4 was gain new skills and knowledge, 7%. 3 was lose weight, 16%. 2 was get fit, exercise more, 17%. I was trying to work out what's number 1. And I thought it's got to be smoking or drinking, something like that. Save more, spend less was actually the most popular New Year's resolution, 21%. Further down the list, it was 2%, by the way, who resolved to give up alcohol this year, and 2% of people with the same number resolved to quit vaping or smoking. But with time flying so quickly, it's good to remember, isn't it, that wise people make the most of their time. So if you haven't made any New Year's resolutions yet, here's a couple to think about. So first of all, resolve to slow down. I was quite interested because the verse has a lovely tension. It says, make the most of every opportunity, but also it says, be very careful how you live. So it seems to me we've got to hold the two in tension. I think we are guilty of living too fast, and I have to hold my hands up for that, like all of us. We're all guilty of it. We live too fast. We maybe make rash choices. Maybe we make hasty decisions. We make snap judgments. We speak too fast. We react too fast. We move too fast. We've got that throttle of life set on fast forward, haven't we? We've got so much on our plate. We don't know how to slow down. And what happens when we are always in a hurry? What happens when we are in a hurry on striding edge? If we're not, oops, thank you, Brendan. I think that summed up very well. You're in danger of tripping and stumbling and falling. And I think what we've got to remember is that I think as far as the Christian life is concerned, so often it's not in headlong pursuit of evil that we trip and fall. It's in headlong pursuit of good. That's so often how we live our Christian lives, isn't it? So many good things. And yet the danger is that we're in such a hurry, we're in danger of falling over. Headlong pursuit of good, as it were. And the answer, I suspect it doesn't just lie in getting better organised, though maybe that's helpful, or buying a planner, or signing up for a time management course, which of course you will be too busy to attend. Maybe the answer lies in the ancient words of the psalmist. And I've lost count the number of times I've had to remind myself of the truth of that verse. Be still and know that I am God. That's Psalm 46, verse 10. So important, isn't it? It's a great New Year's resolution. Slow down enough to get God involved. Because so often when we live in that way, actually we accomplish so much when we welcome God and invite him to be at work in every area of our lives. It's a great verse to learn off by heart. Be still and know that I am God. So resolve to slow down. I think also resolve to remember that time is a precious commodity. However you arrive this morning, whoever you are, actually we've all got the same amount of time, haven't we? We've all got, as far as I know, 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week. And wise people make the best use of their time. And I think one of the things we've got to remember is once it's gone, it's gone. I know it's stating the obvious, but that's it, isn't it? Once it's gone, it's gone. Here's some words from a well-known American politician from the 19th century. He said, lost yesterday, somewhere between sunrise and sunset, 2 golden hours each set with 60 diamond minutes. No reward is offered, for they are gone forever. And again, it's so easy, isn't it, to lose 2 golden hours, to lose 60 diamond minutes. By contrast, Jonathan Edwards, who was a great American theologian from the 18th century, talking about resolutions, before his 20th birthday, he'd made 70 resolutions to help him live the Christian life. He was pretty serious about things. And one of his resolutions was this one. Resolved, never to lose one moment of time, but improve it the most profitable way I possibly can. Slightly flowery language, as you'll appreciate, from the 18th century there, but you can see the point that he's making. Resolve to make the best use of time. I don't know whether people still do it, but whenever we've done decorating, and we don't do it very often, not as far as wallpaper's concerned, but whenever we've done decorating with wallpaper, we used a plumb line. Does anybody... Is that how people do it generally? I don't know whether it's something we did down south, but we used a plumb line. Because the thinking behind it is that once you've lined up that first set of that first roll of wallpaper, as long as you've used the plumb line to start it off, everything else should neatly fall into place all the way around. And when you get to the other end, it all matches absolutely perfectly. Well, that's how I sort of remember it. And it's often been said, hasn't it, The main thing in life is to keep the main thing the main thing. If we make the main thing in our lives glorifying God, then everything else will neatly fall into place. I mean, it's going to affect everything, isn't it? If your main thing in life is to bring glory to God, that's going to affect absolutely everything. It's going to affect the person you are at home, at school, at work. It's going to affect how you spend your money and resources. It's going to affect how you use your gifts and your talents. It'll affect how you face hardship and suffering. It's going to affect every part of your life, including how you use your time. Not that you obsess over every waking minute, because that's the other danger, isn't it? But you do ask yourself some important questions. Am I spending my time, my energy, my resources in a way that brings glory to the Lord? Can I do this, be involved in this, knowing that the Lord is alongside me and sees everything I do? Is this the best use of my time? Am I allowing myself time to relax and unwind? And don't overlook the little phrase at the end of the verse there, because the days are evil. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. I think at the very least that means making the most of every opportunity to be a light shining in the darkness. To take that light and that love of Christ with us wherever we are, because the days are evil. So wise people make the most of their time. But wise people also discern the will of God. And look what Paul says. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And of course, Jesus himself prayed in Gethsemane, didn't he? Not my will, but yours be done. Do you remember how he taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer? May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So clearly, discerning and doing God's will is really important. But as we seek to both discover God's will and do God's will, it's really important to differentiate between God's general will and God's particular will, what Brendan was sort of referring to earlier. So think about God's general will for a moment. God's general will is discovered in the Bible. So it's the same for every one of us, isn't it? Must be the same for every one of us. And it tells us, be the kind of person Jesus was. It tells us, love God and love others. It tells us about wise conduct and foolish conduct. It tells us what's right, it tells us what's wrong. It tells us about vices to avoid. It tells us about values to try and cultivate. It tells us about virtues to hold on to. It tells us about responsibilities. Husbands and wives, parents and children, employers and employees, and so on. So God's general will is discovered in the Bible. So if you like, the will of God is revealed for the people of God in the Word of God. The general will of God. What we might talk about, that first part of the striding edge sort of analogy, where we're all on the same route. It's the general will of God. It's the same for each one of us. The particular will of God is a bit different. So it's his particular will for particular people, in particular places, at particular times. And generally speaking, you won't discover God's particular will in the Bible. You'll have general principles to guide you, of course you will. But you won't discover, generally speaking, his particular will in the Bible. So if you open up your Bible, you won't find what university you should attend after leaving school. You won't find whether you should marry or remain single, whether and where you should go on holiday this year. You won't find whether you should retire, whether you should change jobs, whether you should move house, get involved in a certain church ministry. You probably won't even find whether as a church we should buy Oasis or look for somewhere else So perhaps we ought to say that occasionally God in his grace seems to guide individuals through specific Bible verses, often I have to say wrenched completely out of context. But generally speaking, I think that is perhaps in condescension to our weakness. So how do you think we should discover God's particular will for our lives? Which path, if you like, is right, going up striding edge? I'm going to suggest some really important words for you to think about. Surrender is the first one, and I think that's really, really important. That means simply being willing to pray with Jesus, not my will, but yours be done. That's got to be at the root of it, hasn't it? If you want to know what God's will is, you've got to want it. Not my will, but yours be done. It means being willing to give in and give way to God's purposes. It means being willing to pray with the psalmist, or remember with the psalmist, that he guides the humble in what's right and teaches them his way. And I want to suggest to you that an unsurrendered will is perhaps the biggest obstacle to discovering God's will for your life. Surrender. Be willing to pray with Jesus, not my will, but yours be done, Lord. And not only is there surrender, there's pray. Remember those words of Jesus? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Remember the challenge of James. You do not have because you do not ask God. So I think God is unlikely to disclose his will to us unless we really want it. And then we express that desire in our prayers. And then there's talk. God has given us the gift of one another. He's given us a wonderful church family here, hasn't he? He's given us the gift of lots and lots of other people. And I think we've got to always be humble enough to seek the counsel of other people. Remember the words from Proverbs, wisdom is found in those who take advice. Talk is really important. Here's another one. Think. It's easy to overlook it, but in some ways it's, again, one of the most important things we've got to remember. Because although we surrender and we pray and we talk, at the end of the day, we've got to make up our own minds. I'm always a little bit concerned about what I might almost call a false spirituality. And it seeks to live its life and it seeks to make its decisions just based on coincidental signs or inward impressions or weird pictures. That's how they live their lives. And yet time and time again, there's a wonderful, wonderful word that we read in the Bible. Really simple word. It's consider. Consider. Think. Peter's got some great advice here. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. So we mustn't just make decisions, live our life based on irrational hunches. So often God guides us through the minds he has given us. As we prayerfully and carefully think things through, as we prayerfully and carefully weigh up pros and cons, and of course as we prayerfully and carefully weigh up the long-term consequences of any decision or action we may take. So think. And fifthly, of course, we have to remember this one, wait. My experience has always been that I'm in more of a hurry than God is. That's my experience. I'm always in more of a hurry than God is. And then I think, after all, it took God 2,000 years to fulfill his promise to Abraham in the birth of Christ, 2,000 years. It takes him 80 years to prepare Moses for his life's work. It takes him about 25 years, perhaps, to make a mature human being, maybe a bit longer for some of us, but generally about 25 years, perhaps. So if you've got to make a certain decision by a certain time, then of course you must make it. But if not, and the way forward is still uncertain, it's wiser to wait. And wait on the Lord again is a refrain you read again and again in the Psalms. Psalm 27:14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. More mistakes are made, I think, in what we might call precipitate action than impatient waiting. So hopefully those five words will help us as we seek to discern God's will for our lives, for our church this year. And they all need to be held together. They're all really important. They come as a bit of a job lot, shall we say. So we surrender, we pray, we talk, we think, we wait. Wise people discern the will of God. So, that is not striding edge, I don't think. But I wonder at the beginning of 2025, I wonder whether you are an optimist or a pessimist. So think of all that 2025 may hold. Wonder if you are a pessimist or an optimist. I guess in some ways it depends on where you are at the moment, doesn't it? I mean, if you come back to Jerusalem in the first century, Good Friday was the darkest of days, wasn't it? Pessimism reigns. Jesus has been crucified. The bottom has dropped out of our world. On Easter Sunday, when that glorious good news began to filter out, as the risen Jesus appeared to his disciples, as that news spread, optimism reigned. So even though, as Paul says, the days in which we live are evil, even though there are so many awful things happening in our world, even though life is so fragile and the future is so uncertain, we know that Jesus Christ has conquered death to reign as Lord of life. And that's always our great hope, isn't it? So these are great days to be alive. They really are. They're exciting days. They are amazing days. They are frightening days. They are uncertain days. All those things are true at the same time. So that's why we've got to be wise people who make the most of our time. That's why we've got to be wise people who seek to discern the will of God. And above all, we've got to be wise people who place our hope and our trust in the one who has conquered the grave to reign as Lord of life. And that includes 2025. So let's pray together. Father, we do thank you that together we can come into your presence at the beginning of this new year. And we do pray, Father, that you would help each one of us to be wise. Help us to be wise in making the best use of our time, making the most of every opportunity. Help us to be wise as we seek to discern your will for our own lives and indeed for our church life. But above all, let us be wise people who place our hope and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has conquered death and who reigns as Lord of life and who indeed reigns as Lord of 2025. And in his name we pray. Amen. So we are going to finish our service with a final song which seeks to remember the one in whom we trust. It's Jesus shall take the highest honour, and Jesus shall take the highest praise. And let's pray together. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour be glory, majesty, power and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and for evermore. Amen.